God's grace and peace be with you all. Our gospel lesson today about the man born blind is again very apt for all of us, because certainly I feel like I'm flying blind here at the moment in just recording this sermon for you. And indeed, I had never envisioned that this would be the primary way in which I would engage in preaching. But as for probably all of us, in at least this past week, we have had to change our lives and live in ways that we had not envisioned. And that in some respects, many of us are flying blind with regard to everything that's happening in terms of the coronavirus. I don't want to focus entirely on the coronavirus situation in the sermon, but what I do want to do is provide a broader picture in terms of the possibilities that are there for us when Christ encounters us in our moments of blindness and lack of vision. One of the first things we need to question in terms of this biblical lesson is precisely who is blind. Indeed, we begin with, physically, that man who is born blind. He cannot see. And yet, as we follow through the whole encounter that happens to this man, from his healing to the questioning to his final encounter with Jesus, we see, in fact, that it is not really this man who is blind, but all those who are around him. That they are the ones who truly do not see God at work in the life of this man, and much more importantly, God at work in their lives and in the lives of those around them. The second question to ask is, who is it that is invisible, that is overlooked in this gospel lesson? Indeed, again, we can see that the man was physically blind, but again, to his parents, friends, neighbors, religious authorities, this is a man who was invisible, overlooked. No one really saw or cared for him. And that's the first point that John brings out in this lesson. The very first sentence of this lesson starts, "Now as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who was blind from birth." Jesus is the one who sees. Jesus is the one who notices. Jesus recognizes, pays attention to those whom we so easily and often overlook. Indeed, the whole focus of this dramatic gospel lesson is not on the miracle of this man who was healed from his blindness. But the whole focus of the lesson is among those who are trying to figure out, first and foremost, who is at fault for everything that is going on. And then secondly, just trying to figure out what is going on. Much like us currently, we're simply trying to figure out what is going on. Now, for all you biblical trivia fans, there's something interesting here as well. There is no record of the healing of a blind person in the Hebrew scriptures. Moses, nor any of the prophets, or any of the people of faith in the Hebrew scriptures ever healed a blind person. And that's the case in the New Testament as well. None of the apostles or disciples or Paul ever healed a blind person. It is only Jesus who gives sight to the blind in the Gospels. Of all the healings that Jesus does, there are more healings of giving sight to the blind than any other kind of healing which Jesus does. Jesus is the only one who gives us sight. And for John and the other gospel writers as well, in this case, sight, of course, is a metaphor for the understanding of faith. It is Jesus, the word of Jesus, the actions of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, which gives us our sight, our insight, our understanding, our faith. The man who was healed of his blindness sums up what happened to him in three short phrases. He says, "I went, I washed, I saw." And so too for us is the way that we can describe our lives. We went, we were washed, we see. We went, or we were brought to the baptismal font. We were washed in God's waters of baptism and God's promise. And now we see. Now we have faith. That indeed is the miracle that is happening in the life of the man who was born blind and in our lives. Now, what's surprising about this miracle of the man getting sight is that when he returned, no one gave praise or thanks to God. No one asked the man what it was like to see for the first time. No one asked the man what he would do now. Again, they saw in this man simply a sign of what happens when you don't follow the rules. Who does he think he is, and who does this unknown healer think he is, who indeed engages in work on the Sabbath, in healing on the Sabbath? The religious leaders and the others are now forced to recognize that what they had become accustomed to was no longer meant to be. And so too for us in our life of faith. We need to recognize that what we might have become accustomed to is no longer meant to be for one who lives by faith. It certainly applies for us in our current situation again, as given the whole issues of social distancing and self-isolation, that the kind of things we have become accustomed to are no longer meant to be, at least for a little while. So we go back to our man who was healed from his blindness. It is interesting in terms of the way, again, the religious authorities and others around him keep referring and understanding him in terms of what he used to be. He's still referred to as the blind man, the man who was blind, the man born blind. He is constantly referred to in terms of his limitations. And those around him refuse to accept the transformation that has occurred in his life. And what about us? Certainly in this past week, have we defined ourselves in terms of our limiting factors and the difficulties we cannot seem to overcome? But has that been true for our lives only in this past week, or is it true for our lives in general? That we continue to define ourselves in terms of our limiting factors, in terms of our failures, in terms of the difficulties we cannot seem to overcome, that somehow we are blind to the transformative power of Christ's grace and love that has changed our lives, that has provided us with the faith to see ourselves and others in new ways, as precious and beloved children of God, who have not been overlooked and invisible to God. But each and every one of us are under God's care and protection. The people couldn't make sense of what was happening. Because of that, they finally decided that this man, transformed though he may be, has simply got to go. He can no longer be a part of the community and of their lives. They couldn't make sense of what is happening. The man who was healed himself couldn't make sense of it all. All he could say is, "One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." For those of us in our times when we might struggle with our faith, that understanding is, what exactly is going on? What is happening? How do we make sense of it all? Indeed, we too might say, "I don't know." And that indeed, many of you don't see what I see. But there's one thing that I do know. And here's what I do know: that the coming of Christ's grace and forgiveness and love into my life has changed who I am. I can be who I am and do what I do from day to day because of what Christ has done for me. I too was blind, but now I see. It is Christ's love for me that gets me through the day, that gets me through my life. And I don't have much more than that to say. I simply know that because of my encounter with Christ and His Word, I now have that sight to see. One last thing from this story. After the man has been evicted, if you will, from his community, Jesus is the one who comes back to him. It's not that he goes looking for Jesus, but it is again that Jesus saw this man. Jesus is the one who comes back to him, just as Jesus is the one who comes back to us. Even though we might be blinded by our anxieties and fears, by rules and regulations, Christ comes back to us. Christ meets us, and our vision clears. As we take stock of this past week of social distancing and self-imposed isolation, the difficulties, the challenging, and indeed even the encouragement that can be there, we should ask ourselves, what do we need to let go of to receive the open future God is preparing for us? What designations no longer serve to describe who you are? Have you seen yourselves in terms of limitation and failure, brokenness and loss? How do you see yourselves? Envision a new way of living, a new way of being, that Jesus' grace and forgiveness, his cross and resurrection provide. Particularly in these times now, when we really don't know what will be happening next, do you see yourselves in terms of your baptismal identity? Do you see yourselves in terms of the future and not merely past limitations and loss? The past matters, and we should not deny the past. But as people of faith, we do not live in the past. The past may describe us, but the past does not define us. It is the resurrection that shows that God's love is more powerful than any of our limitations. and the grace and the forgiveness and love of God is that which empowers and transforms us to meet the situations that are there. One more example of sight. Most of you drive cars. And think about, in driving your car, there is a good reason that the windshield of a car is so big and the rear view mirror is relatively small. While it's necessary to be able to glance back once in a while, the key to getting where you need to go is looking forward. Christ is our windshield. Christ provides that faith for us so that in this time, which is challenging for us all, it is faith in Christ that will finally get us where we need to go as we look forward to continued life under God's grace. Amen.